Welcome back to The Market Is Closed. Good Monday afternoon, everyone. Kip Herrins here with the Daily Bearing Investing Podcast. Hope you had a good day. Hope your weekend is fantastic as well. Let's get right to it. Lots to talk about. Bitcoin, of course, is on everybody's mind. Going to cover what's happening there, which is just extraordinary. It really is. It's just the, in my career, this is the single best opportunity for the little guy to take advantage of the big guy. This is what we're seeing now is the equivalent of having inside information and being able to act on it legally. That's what's happening here. Well, I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Also, a big week here. Tomorrow we get the CPI data, several PPI data on Thursday, and a number of inflationary type reports that'll, you know, instruct us to what the Fed's going to do when they meet next week, which is likely going to be to do nothing but stand pat. Don't expect a whole lot from the Fed. But we'll see if this inflationary data is weak or strong. It'll certainly be very telling. And then, you know, what happened on Friday, we have to talk about that. Friday, NVIDIA got slammed, had a big outside day, reversal day, bearish outside day on Friday, closing down 5.5%. That's a loss of like $250 billion in market cap. At one point, it was down. And down another 2% today, by the way. So the semis followed NVIDIA down, down 3.9% on Friday. Today, down another 1.7%. So as we've covered here often, ad nauseum, the semis lead in both directions. So that action is key. And we're watching it closely. However, the internals today, as negative as you might think that the semi signal is, the internals today continue to be good. And that's really what's been supportive of this move higher. This broadening action that's taking place now is that the internals have really, really, really gotten better. And even today with the big losses, the internals were good today. So let's get to it. First of all, the markets. Dow Jones was our winner on the day, the only index up on the day, up 46 points. It's only 0.1%, but we'll take it. S&P 500 was down 0.1%. NASDAQ down 0.4%. Russell 2000 small caps, which have been leading, did not lead today, down 0.8%. And again, semis down 1.7% of the day. We also got some ominous information over the weekend. I say ominous, a little tongue-in-cheek, when both Barron's and The Economist put pictures of bulls talking about the big bull market on the weekend covers. This is typically a big contrarian signal, but it's a little overblown, frankly. It's not as accurate as people have been led to believe. There are times where they've marked tops. And there are times where they mark bottoms. Talking about Barron's specifically, Economist is frankly a joke. It's a far less globalist rag now, so I don't really put much stock in them. Barron's, of course, is much more respected and well-read than The Economist is. But still, that got our attention. We woke up Saturday morning and saw both these publications with bulls on the cover. Not exactly what you want to see. We report the facts, and then we see where things flesh out. We made a decision that, you know, even in light of the overbought nature of this market, even with these bearish indicators, the outside reversal day and the semis and the NVIDIA, and of course these Barron's and Economist covers, we made a decision that is really the same decision we've been making all along from the bear market lows of October 13, 2022, that we're not going to act prematurely. We're not going to act in haste and jump out of the market, try to day trade, try to get too cute, as we phrased it here. No, we're in this for the long run, and we're in a bull market of size and scope that's headed a lot higher. So we're going to continue to use weakness to add to positions in semis and tech and other key areas that we like, but specifically semis and tech, because again, they lead in both directions. Also, in this morning's very letter, I recap some of the I think these are all of our forecasts as we started 2024. Let me just go through these quickly with you because they're unchanged. We have not changed anything. We continue to expect interest rates to decline. The 10-year will finish the year below 3.5%. Right now it's 4.1%. The Fed will cut rates 3 to 4 times. I think Tyler says 2 to 3 times. I'm 3 to 4. We're right there in the same ballpark. We continue to be extraordinarily bullish on equities, looking for a 20% move higher this year, plus in the S&P 500, more so in small caps, looking for 40% gains in small caps this year. We think they're going to lead everything this year. Again, this is just the second year of a powerful new generational bull market. That's how we're treating it, as we think it should be treated. And it's got a long ways to go, in our opinion. Bitcoin. Let's talk about that now. Our forecast there. Bitcoin's going to break 100,000. If you've been listening to us, you know that's been the case for a while. And I think it's going to happen in and around the April halving, which is like 38 days away now. So maybe just before, just after. But I think, you know, today it's right now trading at 72,141. Hit another all-time high today, 72,700, another all-time high. And I think, again, 100,000 by the April halving, with upside potential in 2024 to 200,000. I've seen forecasts that say even more than that from people that I respect. But that's our forecast. That's what we're going to stick with here. Obviously, longer term, much more bullish, still looking for $1 million in Bitcoin, and it won't stop there. It's just a number. It's a number that Cathie Wood picked out. She thinks by 2030, Bitcoin will hit $1 million. Although she's hedging, you can tell she thinks it's going to happen sooner. I think she's right. I agree with that. It's just the best supply-demand story on the planet, and I'm going to cover some more details about that in a moment. But gold. Our target on gold, again, unchanged, $2,400 minimum an ounce for gold this year. Right now, we're just below $2,200 an ounce, with 3,000 an ounce possible on the upside. And we think the miners, that's GDX, the miner ETF, we have positions in some junior miners. We think the miners put up big gains this year, 75%. They're due, they're hated, they're unowned, not just underowned, they're unowned pretty much. And of course, all the excitement's been Bitcoin. So that's just, that's the reality of it. But open interest really plummeted. People stopped talking about it. Everyone said gold's going to keep going down. And of course, that typically marks a bottom. It's just the rubber band stretched too far in the other direction. And with gold at all time highs, which is where it is again today, and the miners not participating, although they really had been participating from last October, but you know, in a longer time frame, no, they have not. They've been a terrible place to have money, but we think that's going to change as well. Again, the key point here is we're in a structural bull market of size and scope, structural meaning that is driven by economic strength, corporate strength, consumer strength. And as we outlined in the Big Bribe, this will be driven also by the innovation revolution. This is one of our five megatrends we put in the Big Bribe. And we are in the roaring 2020s. And it's going to result in the strongest U.S. equity market since the 1995 to 2000 melt-up. Again, a generational bull market. We remain locked in, folks. This is a market you want to be part of for a long time. And we think we're in 1996 right now. So we got, you know, at least 4 years to go. Actually, we think it extends further. This is going to be a very special bull market. Buy the dip will remain the smartest of smart money strategies based on the way we see things here. A few more points on Bitcoin. Okay. A second ago, I said that Bitcoin is the single best opportunity for the individual, and it's really the ability to front run the big guys before they can get in, and that it's equivalent of having inside information that's legal to act on. So what I mean by that, and I think a lot of you understand this, but I'll cover it quickly, the big tenets of the reasons to be bullish, that we have been bullish Bitcoin, obviously the ETF approval from the SEC, game changer, right? Absolute game changer. At the root of that, though, again, this is the best supply-demand story on the planet, best supply-demand story of my career. I'm mesmerized by it, as you can probably tell. It consumes me. I'm barely sleeping at night. I'm watching the ticks. I've only done this around elections and around specific events that had the markets in turmoil, but I've never done it for a single investment, and I'm doing it now. If that sounds like toppy, Like it sounds like I'm saying, oh well, maybe that's the top because I'm over engaged. Believe me, I've weighed that too. I just don't think it's the case. With only 21 million Bitcoin to ever be mined, with the halving coming next month, again we're like 38 days away from the halving, and with 80% of holders refusing to sell, the hodlers, this demand is just going to keep driving price up. And again, it's just so many firms cannot buy. They've really made their bed. Now they must sleep in it. Vanguard, I forgot their name on Thursday and Friday's podcast. Thank you to all of you out there that have been sending me the name to remind me. Just complete brain freeze. Vanguard, I was actually had Nuveen in my mind for some reason. Vanguard was the name I was thinking about. Again, the second largest money management firm, if you can call them that. They basically sequester money with all these funds that they manage. They don't really, and again, to have the ability to vote and to have to move corporate policy is really, like BlackRock does, is just unbelievable. This has been allowed to happen, but as we know, money talks. But anyway, Vanguard, $7 trillion in assets under management, only second only to BlackRock with $10 trillion under management. They just saw Tim Buckley announce his resignation a week and a half ago. I mean, he'd been there 33 years. He hates Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. It was loud about this, prevented Vanguard from getting into the game. So they don't have an ETF. And they can't, their clients can't buy these new ETFs, can't buy Bitcoin or the new ETFs. It means their financial advisors can't, the firm can't, and the clients can't. Now, if it just stopped at Vanguard, I'd say, okay, that's a one-off, right? But it doesn't. It doesn't. Here are some of the firms that still refuse to allow their clients to invest in Bitcoin. This is unbelievable. And by the way, there's a great Cathie Wood video. I'm going to share it in tomorrow morning's very letter, where she addresses this, and she said something I had not heard before. She said they've heard that these firms, let me tell you who the firms are, again, Vanguard, JP Morgan, Citi, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, A.G. Edwards, Charles Schwab, none of these firms allow it. Cathie Wood said that their due diligence process, which is what they're saying that they're ultimately probably going to approve it, but it's going through compliance and due diligence. The attorneys are doing their thing, right? In other words, the attorneys are billing them a shit ton of hours. But Cathie Wood said that this is a 3 to 6 month process. Folks, again, we have the ability now to front run these firms. They must be losing so much money, clients taking funds out, not investing new funds at these firms, instead going to places where you can legally buy, you know, allowed to buy Bitcoin or these new ETFs, if you will. So if it's 3 to 6 months, boy, does that ever make paint for an amazing story headed into the end of the year, second half of the year. The halving, of course, is huge. But again, it's really the demand story here. The halving only makes it that much more sexy. Okay. For those that are new here, by the way, just some reference, you know, we're not newbies here. Okay. Tyler and I first bought Bitcoin at $600 on the same day. Remember doing it together, learning about it. So we got to get a position here. We recommended it to our subscribers here at $2,000. A Bitcoin, and then we sold that position at 58,000. So we really had a great trade there, sold it just off the all-time high in 2021. And then we re-recommended it last June, I think it was, at 28,800. So we've got gains of better than 150% now. And question is, are we selling? No, we're not. We're actually adding two positions. And we're also doing some things in our parabolic options program where we're buying Bitcoin options. Now, these new ETFs don't have options yet. So we're using another way to buy options on Bitcoin. Probably can't get that out here. Our clients will wonder why they're paying us. But again, there's some great strategies here to really make as much money as you can in advance of these big guys being allowed to purchase. It's just an extraordinary setup. Again, in my career, never seen anything like it. No guarantees, folks, never are. But I think you can tell from what I'm saying, I expect it to go a whole lot higher, But the halvings, we covered this in some detail, but for our newer folks, I want to mention it again. Listen to these results. There have been three halvings so far. So halving basically means it's going to be twice as expensive and to mine Bitcoin, and you can only mine, 450 Bitcoin a day. Right now it's 900. It's going to drop in 38 days or so. I think it'll be a little sooner, mid-April. It's going to fall to 450 Bitcoin a day. There are 8,000 to 9,000, 10,000 plus Bitcoin being purchased every day. That number is not going to go lower, okay? It'll fluctuate. There'll be, you know, days with less and days with more, but it's only going to grow because it's not just U.S. firms that are going through the compliance and approval process. It's global firms as well, right? I saw the UK today is considering now allowing firms to launch their own ETN, exchange-traded notes, instead of exchange-traded funds as we have in the U.S. But again, that's the process. So it's happening all over the world. And we've had three halvings to date. The first was in 2012. Bitcoin went from $12 to $964, made 79 times your money. Second halving, 2016, Bitcoin went up 2,900%. The last halving, 2020, Bitcoin went up 700%, made seven times your money. So we'll see what happens now. But again, buying into this halving, front-running it, front-running all the big guys. Again, we have an advantage here, folks. That's been our approach. This is not a new message from us. We have an advantage here, and it's something I think we owe it to ourselves to take advantage of it, you know? And look, if we wind up, if Bitcoin has a shakeout, fine, buy more, right? That's been our approach. You know, you never want to invest every penny you have. You always want to keep some, you know, in stock, right? Keep some liquidity. If you have to, you know, sell another position, because, you know, if we get shakeouts, these shakeouts are a buy. We've had two shakeouts in the last week, right? Week in, what was it? I lose track of time. Again, I'm not sleeping very much. I think a lot of you probably aren't either. But, you know, we had a shakeout to what, 50,000 that took place in a hurry. It was a 9% shakeout. Then last week, we had a 14% bear market. No, I'm sorry. That's a correction. We had a 14% shakeout last week. And again, they're over like that. And it's the shortness of these pauses that I think are very telling, because the buyers are waiting. And of course, it's BlackRock. It's all these ETFs. They're all just waiting to buy, along with a lot of smart money investors. And again, the average guy now has an opportunity. So that's what we're doing. That is what we recommend. I think after the halving, then who knows? I mean, this gets really crazy. This is probably going to get a little nuts. Okay. It's probably going to get nuts. What else today? Let's get to the internals today. I talked about it earlier. The internals today, I checked them earlier today, and I was like, what? I couldn't believe what I was seeing. You know, here we had the semis were down another 2.5% at the open, right? NASDAQ down big. Again, we finished well off those lows. Again, Dow Jones finished positive. So good, another good recovery day, another good smart money hour. But here are the internals. And they were good on Friday, by the way, too, in that big downdraft on Friday. We had more stocks advance on NYSE than decline. Not by much, but there were more. NASDAQ only had about 400 and something stocks more decline than advance. Again, this is very good action on a NASDAQ, a day where the semis got hit hard again and NASDAQ was down 65 points. Volume. Volume was flat on NASDAQ. I mean, again, you'd expect it to be much worse than this. I think if we were looking at big selling pressures coming in, it would be. That's the point. This is very healthy action on a market pause. NYSE volume, positive by about $500 million worth of trading. That's not a whole lot, but still positive when on a day where the SP 500 was down on the day. And finally, new 52 highs to lows. So again, this is the one that's really starting to get our attention. Again, today, it wasn't, you know, earth-shattering. We had 221 stocks in a 52-week high to just 101 in a 52-week low. But these readings, we had back-to-back days on Thursday, Friday of more than 600 stocks hitting a 52-week high. That's pretty good. We're getting back into bull market, confirmed bull market action, which is, it's been a delay. It's taken time. I don't believe it's going to be long. First of all, seasonally speaking, the first half of March is not extraordinarily bullish. It's actually kind of weak. This market has not cared about that. But I think we're going to get back to, before we have a peak, sometime in May, maybe a sell in May, go away kind of thing. Before that happens, I think we're going to get back to having days with more than 1,000 stocks hitting a new 52-week high. Feels like to me we're headed that direction. Again, very healthy action today. Anything other than that, we tell you, we're not perma bulls. We're not perma bears. We try not to be either one of those, okay? I'd much rather be bullish. It's so much more fun to be bullish and be in a bull market. So yeah, I'm an optimist. I do skew to that. However, if our system, VRA system, sits out of 10 out of 12 screens of bullish, that's back at the truck territory. And if we saw negative action, we would report it to you here in our daily letters and podcasts, just not seeing it. And if, again, for the semis to take the hit that they've had and the market to hold up, I think that's a tell. CPI action tomorrow should be pretty interesting. Get the CPI data at 8:30 Eastern tomorrow morning. In our sector watch today, mixed bag here. Five sectors finished higher, six finished lower, led to the downside by not much really here. Industrials down 0.5%. Two other sectors, real estate, consumer discretionary down 0.5%. Really nothing here happening. To the upside, materials up 1.1%. Energy up 1%. Love energy stocks here, as you know. Consumer staples also up 0.5%. We're going to call all of this, the internals and sector watch, we're going to call it mixed to positive. Mixed to positive, again, especially with what's happening in the world of semis and tech, taking a little bit of a breather here, but they've been on fire. This feels like textbook bull market action to me. Again, we reported that for a long time. I just don't think anything's changed. Looks very good. Gold today, boy, you heard me earlier. Big gold bugs here, especially for the miners. Miners are up nice today, up about 2% today. Gold today, up $2 an ounce at $21.87, just below $2,200. A breakout here has already taken place. We're at all-time highs. This move higher is going to continue, in our opinion. Silver, up 13 cents an ounce at $24.68. I'm seeing people saying silver's going to have an even bigger run. That's not uncommon, right? And we know our exposure here, we typically recommend how we're positioned is a 70 to 30, 80, 20. Definitely more in the gold camp than silver camp. That might want to be a mistake. You know, I just always like the yellow metal. That's just been my personal preference. But again, having a position in both is smart. Copper today, up 3 cents a pound to a 392 a pound. Again, very constructive, Dr. Copper. Global economy at all is important. Looks very good. Crude oil. Up 8 cents a barrel today at 7809. But again, energy stocks were up big today. Very good to see. Finally, let's get a late quote on Bitcoin. 72,206 is just $400 or $500 off all-time highs. Again, these little pauses are not lasting long. Who knows? Tonight it can get crazy again. It's up 2.3% in the last 24 hours. Again, 72,201. All right, folks. Hey, always appreciate you listening. Hope you had a great day and even better night. We'll see you back here again tomorrow after the close.